Good evening.
Good evening.
We have a full house tonight. Nice to see everyone. Nice to be here. Thank you all for coming. Going to talk, or at least start the talk, talking about time. And most of you are familiar with the bells that ring to start the period and to end the period. And those of you who do sesshins are also familiar with something that's called the han. And we have a han that's outside the zendo. And we don't use it here very much, except during sesshin and not early in the morning, because we don't want to disturb the neighbors. The han is a block of wood, about like that, and it hangs on a rope. There's a rope on the bottom to hold it, and there's a wooden mallet that's usually about that much around. And the han before zazen lasts for 15 minutes, and there are three rounds, and everyone is supposed to be in their seat by the end of the second round. When the han begins, you think, oh, I have so much time. And there's a pattern to it. There's an introduction, talk, 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 talk. And then there are seven talks, pretty spread out, and then a roll down. So, tuck, 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 tuck. And then a medium-sized talk, I think. And then the next round has five talks and a roll down. And the last round has three talks and a roll down. And then at the end, the very end, it's medium, soft, loud. And as soon as that last talk is made, then whoever is in the zendo with the big bell rings the bell and zazen begins. Feel kind of a little apologetic. I came in late to zazen today. I guess I wasn't keeping time very well at home. When I was practicing at ZCLA, the Zen Center of Los Angeles, one of the positions I had, and it would rotate, was to hit the han in the morning. And it made this piercing sound, but even though it was in the middle of a city, apparently no one tried to say, you know, it was too loud. When you hear it in the country, like a jikoji, it's even more of a piercing sound, especially since early in the morning it's so quiet. But it's a very wonderful experience. Simultaneously with the han being hit, it's not just for time, to keep time and to remind you about the time, as far as like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, etc. It's to remind you about the importance of time, the importance about your life and your death, and not to waste time. I read that in Japan, I don't know if this is current, but it might have been a long time ago, the monks would hit the han so hard that after a certain period of time, which I don't know how long it was, a hole would appear in the han. And so they would get the day off until a new han appeared. usually here an indentation is gradually made from hitting the han over and over and over again. And another legend is that when the han is hit in the morning, it's an invitation to a fierce dragon to appear to encourage everyone to practice diligently and get rid of their delusions. When I was at CCLA, at the end of the sesshin, at the end of all sesshins, I think at least every 7-day sesshin, I'm sure, someone would recite the words that are on the han. And there are many, many, many different versions of it. And while I was there, the person who did it each time was Chico Beck, who was Charlotte Beck's daughter. And she had this beautiful, piercing voice. And it went something like, "Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken. Awaken, take heed, do not squander your life." And at life, she would leave the room. And it always filled me with this awe of, oh my gosh, I don't think I woke up this sesshin. But I think that it's an encouragement after sesshin to go into our lives and to practice this way, to appreciate our lives, to use every opportunity we can to bring what we so-called learn by sitting, what we experience in the Zendo. In the Zendo, our thoughts are sometimes, we're not unable to control them, or we get angry, we're hot, or we're cold, or, you know, there's all sorts of things that come up. But yet we sit, and we face whatever is coming up, and we let it be. And the same thing is true in our daily lives. For all of us, things come up. And through sitting and through our awareness, we develop an ability to face whatever comes up with equanimity and appreciation for everything. I'm bringing this up because during the last 6 weeks or so, I've been dealing with moving. And the last time I moved before this, I was living next door to you, Kokio, at 111 School Street. And I didn't have very much then. I didn't even have a bed. The bed was already in that room. I had a one-year-old son, and he didn't take up much space. Well, he took up a lot of space in my life, but and his toys, I think maybe 3 pieces of furniture, lots of diapers. And I was nursing, so there was no food that I was worried about. And we moved in my car. Jim Goodyear helped me. And I moved to Capitola, 47th Avenue, and lived there for 30 years. I've never lived any place that long. Even when I lived with my family, we moved several times, well, I guess 3 times. And years ago when I lived in the 70s, when I lived in Japan, lived in Santa Cruz, I may have moved about at least 15 times, if not more. So kind of lopsided there. So I had the opportunity to get an affordable housing unit, and it was something that I could not turn down. And not only is it affordable, it's actually much nicer than where I was living. And yet, that's where I brought up my son, and that's where I became accustomed to having my daily life, going on the walks I was used to going on, seeing the people every day that I was used to seeing, even if we weren't friends. It was that familiarity. And even I sort of cried the last time I said goodbye to the postman. We begin to realize how important the people around you are, and the trees, and the ocean, and flowers, and everything that you see. And it was very painful, extremely painful. I didn't know if I could deal with it. It went through depression and fear. A lot of stuff came up. Anxiety. And that was just dealing with the emotional stuff. You know, there's the physical aspect of moving that is quite difficult, too. And so I try to get through this, or I shouldn't say get through it. I try to be with it and have my practice help me to acknowledge and honor my feelings, as well as honor the place that I was leaving. And there was a tendency to say, oh, well, this place isn't very nice anyway. The new place is much nicer, and so, I shouldn't be so sad about it. But still, I needed to honor it. And a couple of days before I actually moved, a friend of mine visited from Berkeley, and to help me move things that I couldn't fit into a box before the movers came. And it was on July 26th, and I was supposed to be here that morning doing Coben's yearly memorial. And thank you, Kokio, for doing that for me. I didn't do it. I woke up very early that morning and realized I needed to do packing, and I just couldn't make it here. But my friend who came, Patrick, his first Oaksan was with Coben, coincidentally. And so after we finished doing what we needed to do in the afternoon, we did our own memorial for Coben. And it was very nice. It was a way of saying, acknowledging Coben, the practice, and saying goodbye to a special place. And in going through the process, I try to really deeply interact with all the people and places that I went to. Like, for example, the bringing stuff to the Goodwill. I must have gone to the Goodwill about at least 10 times and thanking the people there for what they do. I really appreciate it. They've got quite a job. And Habitat for Humanity came and picked up a couple of pieces of furniture, and many books went to the library. And so it was like sharing my move with many, many people. And in Japan, they have a tradition when people leave the temple. And these days they leave in a car, but everyone from the temple stands at the entrance, and as the people leave, they wave. and they don't stop waving until they're completely out of sight. And it's something that I often do. I think I make people feel uncomfortable sometimes, but I think it's a wonderful tradition. And after when I moved in, these two wonderful men, Renee and David happens to be my son's name, they were the movers, and they did an awesome job. 2.5 hours, and the place I'm living in now is on the second floor, and I couldn't believe how fast they went. Even my new neighbors commented on their speed. And when they left, I stood there outside by their truck, and they had to kind of go up and come back again. And I waited, and I waved, and I watched them leave. I just felt such appreciation. So there's so many ways that we can bring practice into our daily lives. I think it was yesterday I received an email from the Hazy Moon Zen Center in Los Angeles. And someone who I met at the sesshin that I went to there many years ago did a review of a book called Swampland Flowers. Do any of you know that book? It's a translation of the teachings and lectures of Dao Wei. And he's kind of more of a Rinzai style. As opposed, the other book that I bought at the time was Cultivating the Empty Field, which is more the Soto kind of style. Although when you read it, the teachings aren't that different, just a slightly different way. And coincidentally, one of the things she wrote about in the review was that life is difficult. And that's where we practice with all those difficulties. If it were easy, there would be no need. And coincidentally, on the eighth month, the ninth day of the eighth month, which is today, Da Wei knew he was going to die the next day, and he called together all his followers and told them. And then early the next morning, he wrote his death verse, and I would like to read that. Birth is thus, death is thus. Verse or no verse, what's the fuss? So he had a very practical, straightforward way of expressing the Dharma. When it's hot, it's hot. When it's cold, it's cold. When you're hungry, you eat, etc. And there's one other thing. This is another translation of the verse on the Han. With each moment, we are dying and being born. Birth and death are important things. Make use of every moment. Everything changes quickly. Time does not wait for humans. And I'm happy to say that I'm enjoying my new place and meeting new people. My son visited last week, stayed for about 5 days to help me finish up the unpacking, and I discovered a wonderful trail right next to the apartment complex. It's on the west side near Swift Street. Maybe some of you know this trail, and it leads up to the Meter Street Park. Very, very beautiful trail. And then, so we turned left on Meter Street, and I discovered a Jewish cemetery. And I said, David, this is where I can go. It's a beautiful cemetery. I didn't know about it. At Temple Beth El Cemetery. And then we walked down Western Drive, and on the right-hand side, just opposite, I think it's Mountain Way, just before it go, it get the hill, you go down the hill, there are a couple of benches, and there's a little box there, like those free library boxes, except it's to write a poem. Write a poem, take a poem and leave a poem. And then some very lovely books. Those are the special things that, so far, that I've discovered, in addition to the New Leaf and, you know, Ace Hardware and other essentials, Kelly's Bakery. Well, I think that's all I have to say. And if any of you would like to share anything, you're welcome to. Thank you. Kathy?
Well, I'm just completely transported back to your old place. And I'm remembering, and I want to appreciate you again, that's where you helped me sell my first Rocka suit.
I remember. I can see you sitting there in the corner.
I don't think the community maybe knows that you are the person who was the first sewing teacher for our generation. Mm-hmm. And I know that you helped Jean and I with our Rocka suits. And I'm totally picturing the living room. And when you first said that you had to move, I felt this, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But now I'm actually very happy to hear about finding your way in your new place. But
thank you.
I send my special memory there and gratitude to you for helping.
Thank you.
With that very important experience.
Thank you, Kathy. Carolyn.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about the connection and the relationship between the experience of moving and your feeling for time, particularly the verses on the Han.
Maybe I didn't make that connection. Time in the sense of dealing with 30 years, what is that? And I think it's mostly that. I mean, of course, there's the time of having to get everything done in a certain amount of time. The days went so fast. I couldn't believe it. Before I knew it, it was, you know, like 5 o'clock, and I realized that more than someone helping me with packing, I needed someone to bring me meals, because I couldn't, it was hard to think of that food, and I think I lost weight during this whole process. The appreciation of the time that we have, living and dying, and each moment, you know, that's happening, and to be aware of that, and to try to not to move through. I was trying not to move through this process in a mindless way, because I felt if I do that, then I'm going to just be mindless, and I didn't want to set up any karma that would, you know, would make things difficult for myself or other people. And yeah, does that answer your question?
Yes,
or is there more?
I was wondering if this experience of transitional time has felt different or given more openings, which is what your talk suggested, that it's opened into a deepening sense of time itself, not wasting it, living with it, and as you just said, not moving through it rapidly, but experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the notion of transitional time, which is interesting. So we don't often think about transitions.
Mm-hmm.
So you've helped us a lot.
Yeah, and we're always making transitions. I know one feeling I had when I was in going to both places, like when I had access to the new apartment for about 2 weeks, and I'd be in the new apartment and I would feel oh, this feels like home. And then I'd go to the old place where I was living. Oh, this feels like home. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everywhere, anywhere I hang my hat is home kind of mm-hmm. feeling. And I think that happens to a lot of us. You know, we sometimes just coming here seems strange. And then I'm here and it just seems so natural.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ziggy?
Thank you, Ellen. That was just a very warm and personal invitation to us into your life. And I was thinking about time and as it relates to space and this idea of changing your space. And watching you, I just got this beautiful image of it. I loved how you, when you said goodbye, it was not only to the people in your world, Capitola, but it was to the trees and the flowers. And I thought about your walks over there at Pleasure Point, you know, it's the east side, west side thing. And I was thinking about the times I've spent on West Cliff Drive and these wonderful pelicans that come down the coast and then they come up the coast. And there's this sense of this bigger, fuller, spacious world that you're inhabiting. And it's like you're part of this migration in a way that it feels fluid to me. And I just got this beautiful image of you sitting there as like one of those birds that is now flown up the coast. And you're perching on my side.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to maybe walking with you on West Cliff.
Actually, every time I drive down King Street, I think about you when I pass. You're on Van Ness?
Yeah,
when I pass Van Ness. And so we're going to have to go for a walk.
Yes,
yeah.
We will.
Okay. Thank you. Patrick?
Well, just the fact that you looked at the six-week period of transition and great emotional upheaval and said to yourself, well, why don't I turn this into a sesshin and watch the time and watch my environment? And I think it's, you know, maybe because of your experience of all the many sesshins that you've done over the years is that despite the difficulties in sesshin or in our lives, when we make it a practice, our hearts kind of naturally open. And that might be an experience that a lot of us have had in sesshin, that gosh, despite, you know, despite all of this, my heart is open. And at the end of it all, we sign up again. So that was a great story of sesshin in our lives.
Thank you. Mary?
The blackberries are really nice on that Meter Street path. I used to ride my bike from campus down to Wilder Park Pike, Wilder through that Meter Street path that you were talking about. So there's really nice blackberries on there about halfway through the summer. And there's actually a really wonderful walk into Wilder, a little bit further up Western, that I'd be happy to do with you sometime. We go through a cow field that's part of UCSC property, and you can get into the top of Wilder, and it's through the redwood trees down to a stream.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of my favorite walks. So
okay, it's a date.
I'd love to do that.
Okay.
And it was interesting because I've just recently started sewing, and I looked at Kathy's robe the other day, and I couldn't believe the meticulousness of her stitches, and I can't believe how many times I've taken the same line out and put it back in, and taken, I think, six times on this one line, and I keep thinking, eventually I'm going to get it. And as I was sitting here, I didn't realize you were a sewing teacher before. I was admiring the stitches on your robe, thinking, you're just like Kathy. I will never quite get that perfect, but it's also, it's
It's not perfect.
It's the practice of time, right?
I have some panels that are upside down. And Jean noticed it.
Yeah, all I can see is how straight the stitches and how evenly they're spaced and how lovely they are. But I do think the saying on the Han, from the first time I've seen it, really has always touched me. Mm. Because I think most of our life we go through not being fully awake and not really appreciating what's in front of us.
Right.
And not feeling the hard things when we're going through change and learning to appreciate and let go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that came through strongly for me in what you talked about was appreciating the place you'd have. Mm-hmm. And then starting to appreciate all the wonderful things that you see in the new place. Mm-hmm. And letting go and accepting the change. And I think that's probably one of the things that most of us struggle with is we get comfortable with where we're at or what we're doing, and then any change, even if it's a good change, causes some sort of anxiety. And I think feeling it fully is the only way that I found that I don't hang on to it. And that came through really strongly for me. So.
Yeah, thank you. That's one of the things that I felt very deeply was that there's no way to avoid it. No way. It's like, you know, you have an embryo growing into a person in the womb, and you can't skip any steps. You know, you just have to go through it. It's natural. Thanks, Mary. Okay, thank you very much. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Illusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma.